5:44 on your Friday morning. The results are in. The Ralco Radio Saskatchewan Day of Caring for Wildfire Relief raised a grand total of $643,000. 156.
We're really appreciative of the people of Saskatchewan for stepping up to help us help the people who are in need.
Yeah, Jason Small is with the Red Cross. He says that money will help those evacuated, still those heading home. It will help plan for the future as well. Yes, the Day of Caring may be over, but you can still donate to the cause through the Red Cross this morning. It was a day yesterday, 12 hours, where we brought you stories from evacuees. We heard from those on the front lines. We heard from politicians carefully monitoring how things are going. Yes, many people have banded together. Aaron Buckingham is president of the Saskatchewan Volunteer Firefighters Association. He says most of the work its crews have done is protecting homes and cabins.
You know, it's hard work. It's labor intensive. And we were tired at the end of the day. But that's nothing compared to the struggle of the people that are affected directly by these fires. Mm-hmm. This is what we do.
Firefighter Brady Highway is in the hospital right now with a collapsed lung, but he says he plans to return north once he's better.
We pride ourselves on being able to step up into some of those adverse conditions. Somebody's got to do it. Yeah, there's a small handful of us that do have what it takes to get it done, I suppose. It's hard to explain. But when you look at what's at stake and what your personal body can take, those are calculated decisions. You know, even the day that I did collapse my lung, I woke up sore, like I knew that there was something was happening. But, you know, I worked up until about 3 o'clock that day just because I knew that I wasn't going to be engaged in any, like, really rigorous work that day. I was also near to a road and close to first aid.
And we heard from evacuees as well yesterday, those who were able to go back home with a bit of smile, with a bit of relief. We also heard from those still out of their homes who are living right now in a state of chaos as they wonder what's next. Again, the grand total, $643,156. And this morning we say thank you, Saskatchewan. Father's Day, of course, coming up on Sunday. Dad might be happy that the Edmonton Oilers just won game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. What another wild game that was. It didn't look good after the first period, which the Panthers dominated.
Reinhardt shoots in. Stetcher back for Edmonton. Pass out in front. Score! It is now 3-0 Florida. Lundell in the final minute of the opening period.
Yeah, and Florida was at home as well. I had a buddy text me, quote, "Welp, this game's over." Then I don't think a lot of people were surprised when Edmonton stormed back in the second with 3 unanswered goals.
Middle period. Draisaitl wins the draw. Here's Nurse. Carries in deep. Centering pass. Puck pulls it with a shot. He scores!
After 2 periods, tie game 3-3. And then in the third, the Oilers take the lead.
Reinhardt with it. Steps away from Nugent Hopkins. Ahead for Barkov. Taken away from him. Here is a blast by Wall, and he scores!
Hold up, though, in the dying seconds, something like 20 seconds left. Florida ties it.
Moves it back in. Picker. Now Kulak. Held in by Verhaeghe. Now across. The truck with it. Score!
And then for the third time in 4 games, overtime. Florida was pressuring. At one point, a shot caught iron. But it stayed out not long after Edmonton came down the ice on the Panthers.
Puck pulls it. Cross-ice pass. Draisaitl puts it in. Score! Leon Draisaitl in overtime. The Edmonton Oilers tie the series 2 games apiece.
Let's hear that again, shall we?
Pulls it. Nice pass across. Here's Draisaitl. Scores! Leon Draisaitl's won it. In game 4 for the Oilers, and the series is tied at 2.
Here's the crowd outside Rogers Place in Edmonton reacting.
I believe that this is our year, this is our game, our cup, and it's time to bring it home.
Final score 5-4 Edmonton over Florida in OT. As you heard, Leon Draisaitl had the winner. He says the plan had been to come out strong.
They put us on our heels early, and we're kind of lollygagging around a little bit, and certainly not the time to lollygag around, right? Especially after getting spanked in game three.
Edmonton head coach Chris Knobloch says after facing a 3-goal deficit, a power play goal in the second gave them that confidence boost.
After the way game three went and then the way the first period tonight went, you know, a lot of teams probably don't find a way to rebound. But a lot of credit to these guys. Very proud of them. Loved the effort from them.
Hey, he never had a doubt.
It's not easy to, but I know with the group that we have, we can do it. We just got to dig in and win a few more battles and play a little bit smarter. And the guys didn't quit.
And there you go. Another highly entertaining game. And we are all tied up. And now it is a best of three. Game number five goes tomorrow night in Edmonton. Bring them out. 5:53 on your Friday morning. Tomorrow, the Rough Riders are in Hamilton taking on the Tiger Cats. Joined on the line this morning to preview the game, Belton Johnson, part of our Green Zone pre- and post-game show for the Riders. Great Cup champ. But now, Belton, before we get to the Riders, Father's Day, of course, is on Sunday. Now, do you get the day off and someone else handles the grill?
Kevin, unfortunately, I won't be having the day off.
Oh, no.
And the thing is, you know, I like grilling and everything, right? So I think the wife, she's come up with a great menu here, and I'm looking forward to getting on that grill.
Time to execute it. So, speaking of execution, Belton, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, they are in Hamilton, of course, tomorrow. Let's start with the Rider injuries, because that seems like it's a big talk for a lot of people. Can the team rebound from these injuries?
Absolutely. I think they can rebound from the injuries. You know, again, one thing that last year that I learned is the resilience of this team and, you know, that next man up mentality. The Riders, they've done a great job with depth this season. I think I told you last week there, Kevin, I think I could probably go pick the third string on the roster for the Riders, play this person, and not miss a beat at all. So I do think the Riders will be okay in that sense when it comes to the injuries.
Keys to the victory, if they can pull it off.
If they can pull it off, I think they're going to have to, you know, last week I saw what, over 400 yards passing, right? So, they're going into the Ticat territory there, Bo Levi, Kenny Lawler. I think they're going to have to, you know, contain the pass coverage and everything. Again, giving up 400-some yards, that's quite a bit of yards there, right? So, if they can do that, they can come out of here, because the one thing about the Riders is that defense, right? I think they can play better than last week. I do expect the pass rush, the run defense to be on par, if not better, because the Ticats, you know, you look at them last week, they didn't run the ball hardly at all against the Stampeders. Well, the Riders, they do have a great run defense.
Belton Johnson on the line with me this morning. How good is this Hamilton team, Belton? And I know you mentioned Bo Levi. Does he still have it?
I think Bo Levi still has it, man. Even though last week wasn't indicated when they played the Stamps, I think he had averaged only 6.1 yards per pass attempt there last week. But, you know, again, I mentioned Kenny Lawler. You know, I know Kenny Lawler's been a beast against the Riders in the past, you know, when he's with the Bombers. So those two guys and the defense last week, the Ticats, I do think they have some pretty solid pieces on defense that could get the Riders a bit of trouble. I know they had two interceptions last week. And I think it's going to be the Ticats fan base, right? If the Riders, they're going on the road, they're going out east, right? They got to, you know, just stay poised and everything, because this is the Ticats home opener this week.
Thanks for doing this, Belton, and have a fantastic Father's Day weekend.
Hey, we'll be on the grill with the ribeyes, Kevin. Have a good one.
.614 and a big win for the Edmonton Oilers last night, once again in overtime after being down 3-0 after the first period. And some people writing them off, maybe not Oiler fans themselves. Edmonton storms back, ties it at 3 after the second period. Edmonton goes up 4-3. Florida comes right back with about 19 seconds left, ties it up at 4. The game goes to overtime. And then in overtime, the sound that is sheer music to Oilers fans' ears.
Colson, quick pass across. Here's Jackson. Here's the scores. Leon Draisaitl's won it. In game 4 for the Oilers, and the series is tied at 2.
And so now it's a best of 3, the Stanley Cup final. Game 5 goes tomorrow night. Back in Edmonton. Hey, the results are in, and our Saskatchewan Day of Caring for Wildfire Relief raised just a little more than $643,000. Not surprising, because Saskatchewan always pulls together, helping those in need out of their homes because of wildfires burning up north. We're bringing you this morning the very latest 980 CJME special coverage of the devastating fires. And right now, there are 22 active wildfires this morning. 6 of them are not contained. For the first time in about 3 weeks, Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency did not hold a media briefing yesterday, perhaps a sign of an improving wildfire situation. And nearly 2 weeks ago, wildfires forced them out. Thousands of people from northern communities like LaRange are once again waking up at home. We spoke to one woman from Birch Portage, who had been staying in Prince Albert. She talked about how she was feeling about to go home.
Go back and we rebuild like we always do, because if you spend some time in the north and you realize how strong the community is.
People were loading up trailers and cars with their stuff again to hit the road. Yesterday, Lac La Ronge Indian Band Chief Tammy Cook-Searson says there have been a lot of happy faces as people arrive back.
People are really happy to be returning, and I'm really grateful for all the support that we received.
Now, that said, she says there was some damage to the community. 14 homes burned down. Most of them were complete homes, but she did mention that a couple were in the process of being built. But still, the destruction is evident in that area. But at the same time, some good news, as recent rain, recent cooler temps have helped get more of a handle. Still, a lot of areas, fires are out of control, but a bit of good news this morning. And stay with us here on 980 CJME as we continue to bring you the latest and live updates on the wildfires up north.
I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man.
6:21 on Friday morning. Here's a sweet story to carry you into the Father's Day weekend. Near Shelbrook, one father's wartime beekeeping hobby grew into a golden legacy and a life full of lessons shared between a dad and his son. On 80 CJME's Brittany Cafe is visiting Hannigan Honey, where the buzz is all about family.
Honey gold. Albert Hannigan didn't set out to build a business. He just wanted to help his family during World War II. Here's his son, Murray Hannigan.
My grandma was struggling because sugar was being rationed. She said, Albert, next spring we're going to get a beehive. That was a whole new experience for him. At 16, through the Eaton's catalog, you could buy bees. And so he brought in a package of bees and started with that. But my dad just fell in love with it. Like, he couldn't get enough of it. And he would say to me years later, he says, you know, I don't know how that hive made any honey that first year because I was into it every day. So he really enjoyed it.
Today, that wartime hobby has become a thriving family business. Hannigan Honey produces about 1 million pounds of honey every year from more than 6,000 hives. But Murray tells me for his dad, the real legacy wasn't the business. It was the way he raised his family through it.
As children, and there were seven of us, we had jobs of building bee frames. And I remember, like, we get paid 10 cents a frame to build. And so as kids, you know, like, we wanted to have some pocket money to be able to buy candy. So anyway, we would build these frames and we would do all these things that kind of actually in the end helped build the business.
From a young age, Albert's kids were out in the field and in the workshop learning the value of effort, problem solving, and doing things the right way, even when it was the hard way. As Albert got older, he didn't stop working. But it turns out that even the busiest of bees still do need a break now and then.
Dad, he would do well with a power nap. We'd be out at the bees and he'd say, oh, I just need to take a little break, you know. And so he'd lay in the shade of the truck with his bee veil on, have a 20-minute rest, and then right back to work.
Albert Hannigan passed away in 2017. But for Murray, his dad's example is still right there in the hum of the hive and in every lesson passed down to the next generation.
He was a man like to look up to and actually hard to walk in his shoes. He was passionate about beekeeping, and he passed that on to me. And so I love what I do.
Today, Murray Hannigan carries on the family tradition, running Hannigan Honey with the same passion and pride that his father had. For him, the sweetest part of this business isn't the honey. It's the legacy of hard work, patience, and family values that his dad left behind. In Shelbrook, I'm Brittany Caffey, 980 CJME.
Oh, here's something I feel like all dads will be excited for.
After 40 years, we asked, what do the fans want? But instead, we're making this movie. May the Schwartz be with you.
That is right. There is a sequel to Spaceballs coming. You heard the announcement there from Mel Brooks, who, by the way, turns 99 in about 2 weeks later this month. He's expected to be in the movie along with Bill Pullman and, wait for it, Rick Moranis. Reprising their roles. What? Rick Moranis? Honey, I can't believe it. He hasn't really been anything for years, at least on camera. The new Spaceballs movie comes out in 2027 in theaters. Mel Brooks will be 101 years old. /6/28, Friday the 13th. Goaltenders are always superstitious, it seems like. Well, Winnipeg Jets goalie Connor Hellebuyck wins the Vezina Trophy as the top netminder and the Hart Trophy as the league's MVP. The league actually surprised him as he was out on the boat fishing at his home in Michigan. And when he pulled up to the dock, his family and friends were there waiting for him.
Are you surprised?
Yes.
Seeing all his hard work and dedication pay off like this, there's nothing more rewarding.
Hand this off so I can give everyone a hug.
Give it to your dad.
You want to hold it?
Yeah.
It's that word that is surreal. As a parent, you sit back and you're just so happy that all your kids go out, find their dream, achieve their goals, and all our kids are doing well. To see Connor doing that and be able to celebrate it like this, it's a front row seat that I'll never forget.
Say cheese. All right, everybody, look at the camera.
Oh, God, cheese, what is this?
Yes, buddy.
Come on in, Tom.
Where's the other trophy?
Everybody wants to win the heart.
Congrats, buddy. So happy for you.
That moment was like putting a little cherry on top.
I think he was in shock. It was one of the best scenes I've ever seen a goalie have in my life, and to be able to witness it and see how proud he was when he saw that trophy come out meant a lot.
I actually had no idea what this trophy looked like.
You want to hold it?
It's really heavy, though.
Whoa.
Wow.